Hi, everyone. Welcome to Golden Goose earnings presentation for the first semester 2023. So the group in this semester generated revenues of 277 million, an increase of +21% over last year. Profitability continues to be excellent. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of euro 95 million, with a margin of 35%. As you can imagine, we are very proud about these results, in particular, when considering the ongoing market trends. Despite deteriorating consumer environment in the U.S., our main market, as you know, we posted an excellent performance in the America region, where our retail sales grew more than 30% over the last year. Despite then a general shift on consumers from digital to physical stores, our digital operations grew by 20%, excluding U.S. online concessions and marketplace. This is a strong confirmation of the resiliency and momentum of our brand. Then, during this first incredible semester, we have expanded our retail network with the addition of five new stores. Our store network currently includes five forward stores. As you remember, the stores where the people can create this magic, where people can innovate on our sustainable format, and we opened them in Milan, Dubai, New York, and in Paris. We have then fully integrated our main supplier, acquired at the end of 2022, with the goal of increasing sustainability and transparency of our supply chain. Then finally, during the semester, we have launched House, our global cultural platform, to unleash creativity and unite artists of multiple disciplines, identities, and backgrounds, and in general, to unleash creativity. Backed then by our pleasing first semester results, we are more than happy to continue to invest, innovate, expand, to achieve sustainable growth that will inspire our community for the years to come. We have a compelling pipeline to heighten our global brand awareness, including new stores openings, brand campaigns, and product launches. Now, as always, I leave the stage to Paolo, who will walk you through details of these incredible first semesters. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much for the introduction, Silvio, and let me quickly introduce the key figures for the first half of 2023, which we will then discuss in detail in the following slides. 21% is the semester growth, having Q2 confirm the same trend experienced in Q1, with a consolidation of the shifting mix towards the DTC channel, which now represents 69% of total revenue on a half-year basis and 71% on a LTM basis. A significant increase in profitability, with an EBITDA margin exceeding 34%, 70 basis points over last year's same period. A free cash flow of 21 million euros in six months and 45 million on LTM basis after servicing debt and taxes. A financial leverage partially reduced to 2.8, thanks to EBITDA growth, and 115.7 million euro in cash, notwithstanding the impact of the acquisition of Italian Fashion Team in terms of cost for M&A and net working capital one-off impact, already discussed 3 months ago. The first half turnover performance confirms the strong brand momentum, with sales growth of more than 20% or 48.3 million, with positive performances across all geographies and channels. This result is thanks to a DTC growth of more than 25%, with a comparable growth of 22%+. B2B channel is increasing low single digit. The most important thing is that we continue to grow without diluting the margin, with an EBITDA margin that increased by 70 basis points, reaching 34.6%. As to first half 2023 result, the LTM EBITDA margin is equal to 33.8% from 33.4% at 2022 year-end. Speaking about geographies, first half in America grew by 12%, equal to 12 million, mainly thanks to the DTC channel, which contributes for 10 million euros. Combination of a comparable retail growth of 5% and space effect of LTM new openings, while the other 2 million come from wholesale business. As Silvio mentioned, considering the slowdown in growth that all major luxury brands experienced in the first half, these results confirm the strength of the brand in the American market. EMEA region's performance in first half was extraordinary, with a revenue increase of more than 21 million euros, equivalent to a 24% plus. This was mainly due to the DTC channel, which accounted for a comparable growth slightly below 50%. Finally, we are witnessing also the recovery of the APAC region, which grew by 19% in first half, equivalent to 8 million euros, with a strong performance across all channels. DTC like-for-like growth is equal to 26%. We have already mentioned the channels when talking about geographies, but let's take a closer look. Retail is the channel that grew the most even in first half 23, with an increase of 39 million, equivalent to a plus 37%. 36 million come from the monobrand stores, duty-free are flat, and 3 million growth is generated by the concession business. On LTM basis, growth is equal to 42% plus. Digital performance is in line with last year. The deceleration in digital channel growth is primarily due to a third-party platforms, which, as confirmed by recent quarterly reports of Nostrum, our main digital concession partner, are the ones affected the most by the return to brick-and-mortar consumption, especially in the U.S. Indeed, excluding American concession and marketplaces, digital is growing by 20%, confirming that where you can combine the in-store and online experience, the performance remains very, very positive. All in all, the channel growth on LTM basis is equal to plus 14.14%. And consistently with our strategy of converting key wholesale customers to DTC and focusing on distribution quality, wholesale channel is almost flat as compared to same period last year. Let's now talk about margins, all of which are growing more than proportionally to the revenue growth. The net margin, which is the difference between sales and cost of goods sold, stands at 71.7%, plus 180 basis points versus last year. The shift to DTC is the main reason, but it should be noted that even with the same mix, gross margin has been resilient despite the strong inflationary pressure, thanks to a more favorable product mix and a strict no-discount policy, which keeps preserve the high value of our brand. Part of this higher net margin was absorbed by the higher cost generated by DTC channels, such as selling and distribution and G&A. Nevertheless, EBITDA margin continues to be healthy at 34.6%, 70 basis points above last year, while the EBIT margin rose by 170 basis points to 23.8%. Net working capital has to be properly commented as we did in Q1. It should be normalized from the extraordinary component arising from the consolidation of Italian Fashion Team from January 23. In fact, the normalized net working capital is equal to 37 million, standing at 7% on LTM revenues. Compared to 2022 closure, inventory and receivable as percentage of sales remain roughly unchanged, while payable decreased from 26 to 20%. Due to a seasonality effect and to a light reduction in third-party purchases, having payment terms remain unchanged. In addition, there's a one-off impact of about 20 million from the acquisition and subsequent consolidation of Italian Fashion Team. Our guidance sees a net working capital weight in the region of 10% in the coming months, with a natural fluctuation typical of the industry. We invested 13.6 million euros, of which 9.2 in retail, 1.3 in technology and digital, and 3 million in office facility, mainly related to the new headquarters in Venice. We keep remain consistent with our historical incidence of 6-7% on turnover that still represents our guidance for this year. Speaking about cash flow, even in first half, consistently with past performance, the operating cash production was extraordinary. In the first 6 months of 23, we produced 65.3 million of adjusted operating cash flow and 21 million of adjusted free cash flow. Cash conversion remains very high at 76% on LTM basis, with an adjusted cash flow of 114 million. The slight decline of adjusted free cash flow was mainly due to the negative impact of financial interest due to the increase of Euribor rate and more taxes paid, approximately respectively 5 million for the first impact and 4 million for the second one. As we anticipated in the previous call, the operating cash generated had totally offset the extraordinary M&A impact of the acquisition of the supplier. As a result of a stable net debt and EBITDA growth, the net leverage ratio decreased from 3 to 2.8 from December 22 to June 23. And now, before leaving the floor to you for the Q&A session, let's see the guidance. The current trading of Q3 is slightly decelerating versus first half. However, year-on-year growth remains double-digit with a strong performance in EMEA. That being said, we confirm our guidance of a mid to high teens growth by the end of the year, with a strong growth in DTC and wholesale channel strategically slightly below 2022. Thank you very much. We are ready for the Q&A for the operator.
Thank you. So if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To revoke your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing for your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. We will now take our first question. So this comes from Fraut Rolkovic from ODDO BHF. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for taking my questions. Some housekeeping questions, really. So what is the current amount of reverse factoring that you're using?
The amount of reverse factoring, let me give you the precise number.
And while you are searching, do you hedge your interest on your Eurobond?
Yes, we hedge and we started to benefit from the hedge from August this year because we decided to start to hedge from fixing the exchange rate in May this year. And the first benefit, we have the first benefit in August this year. And we hedge at 1.6% approximately 75% of our bond.
And while you are still searching for reverse factoring, do you...
I have the answer for the first question is 11 million versus
yep.
21 million that we have in December 22. And the reason is that consolidating now our main supplier that we acquired, the level of reverse factoring decreased because it was under this reverse factoring agreement.
Understand. And when it comes to capacity or utilization, do you feel that you have enough capacity or are there any plans to increase your capacity?
You mean internal capacity?
I mean, do you have enough sourcing? Do you have enough factories which are producing for you?
Yeah, for sure. Now we have a saturation of the approximately 50-55% if we include direct capacity and indirect capacity. Then we don't have any actual problem in terms of sustain our volumes. And also we have the possibility to increase our production capacity in our owned factory or also in the factories owned by the supplier. Then we don't see any constraints related to volumes at all.
Perfect. And when it comes to working capital in H2, I mean, H1 we saw a usage of, let me have a look, around about 40 million. Do you expect H2, the trend to be the same? Or do you expect working capital to be rather a source of cash?
No, we expect that the net working capital will stabilize at 10%, including the Italian fashion team effect, of total revenues. And it means that in second half, we expect, differently from the first half, more production in terms of cash. We had this normalization effect jumping from 0%, that was an extraordinary net working capital incidence at the end of last year, to 10%. Now we expect to be stable at 10%. Then it means that we grow in terms of revenues and EBITDA, we expect to produce cash.
Okay. Two more questions, if I may. First of all, you always stated a long-term EBITDA margin target of above 30%. First, is that still valid? And isn't it a bit shy vis-a-vis your current EBITDA margin?
You know, this is our guidance and what we see for the future to be above 30%. Of course, the actual results are higher than this number. Then by the end of this year, we don't expect to land at 30%, but on a long-term view, we want to maintain this level of commitment and to stay around 30%, 30-31%. But by the end of the year, we will have a higher EBITDA margin consistent with what we are delivering in the first half.
Understand. And I think on the last call, you were mentioning or hinting that you want to move to a lifestyle brand, and we will see a great surprise towards the end of the year. So now I'm very curious whether you can give us a bit more clarity on that.
Very soon. Yeah. It's not yet the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay, but I guess all what you are planning is firstly covered by your CapEx guidance of 6-7%, and I assume that you do not have to tap the credit market and do not do stupid things and lever up and whatever, so it will be a smooth thing.
No, everything will be within the frame that Paolo already illustrated to you, and nothing capital intensive or anything, you know, more related to product and narrative.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Rook. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Our next question is from Marco Garoni from T. Rowe Price. Marco, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Couple from me today. So you mentioned a couple of times in your prepared remarks that, and I guess you mentioned in Outlook, that you're seeing a slowing growth rate in luxury goods. So maybe could you tell us what was the same store growth rate for you guys in the first half? And is that slowing for you too? That's my first question. And the second one, about outlook, really, is there any comment you can say about the sort of visibility you're getting for the Christmas trading or autumn, basically, from your wholesale channel at the moment and orders in that channel? Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Marco. We normally don't deliver and disclose the numbers related only to retail because of the omnichannel, you know, contamination between digital and brick and mortar. But in terms of DTC growth in the first half, then direct to consumer including and also digital, the growth was plus 22% on a like-for-like basis. What does it mean that we see a slowdown? That we are, of course, keeping our positive numbers, but the percentage is slightly below. But it's not affecting the you know, our view relating to, and it's only an aspect that happened in July and August, and starting from September, we have already experienced a return to previous data, but it's too early to confirm that we will be back to the first half results. Say that by the end of the year, we keep confirm our, you know, mid-high teens growth because the results are pretty positive, even with this slowdown.
Understood. Okay, thanks.